is Kedas Yitzchak. And if you had a chance to look, the Rambam writes at the beginning of the third section of the guide, chapter 24, the subject of the Akedah is also very difficult. It is one of the greatest difficulties of the law. Meaning to say, the Rambam's writing that one of the most difficult aspects of the entire Torah is the Akedah. There are many difficulties, some of which the Rambam deals with. What is the purpose of an Akedah? If God knows the result of a test, why is he testing? And of course there are many answers to this. One, before we have a chance to get to the Rambam's approach in Mor Nevuchim, I saw a fascinating concept in the Gra. The Gra writes that a person is only a tzaddik, can only be called a tzaddik or shalem, if he's able to express opposite characteristics. He writes, this is the first on page one, Lefi she'ein hashlemus nikar badam, elak she'esh lo shtei midos hafuchos, kegon rachmanus vachzarius. For example, he's able to express both mercy, kindness, as well as cruelty. Kindness when that's called for, and cruelty when that's called for. Lefishek shahadam noheg b'midachas eino muchrach lomar shu tzadik. Should a person act entirely with one midah, let's say he's always kind, so that's not an indication that he's a tzaddik. Why?
Because he's not overcoming any kind.
Because perhaps he's naturally kind, or that's simply his nature, either his nature or his nurture, whatever it is. It doesn't reflect greatness. Anything that somebody does naturally without having worked upon it, worked for it, is not an expression of greatness. Ela yesh lomar shekachu tivo. Maybe that's his nature. Avak sheyesh lo shtei midos hafuchos. When he's able to express opposite tendencies, he's kind when kindness is called for, and he's cruel when cruelty is called for. Az muchrach shehu tzadik. That shows that he is truly righteous. I remember. Yeah? Okay, there you go. The Gra was first. No. So I remember once when I was in college, I was in Rabbi Meir Tursky's shir. And those of you who know Rabbi Tursky know that he is very calculated with respect to every word he says. He's generally quiet and he's precise and not one to just schmooze and tell jokes and the like. So I remember somebody telling me that he went with Rabbi Tursky once to do Bikur Cholim, and Rabbi Tursky was boisterous and talkative and telling jokes and stories for a long time. He just kept on yapping away. And he said he was marveled. And that's exactly what the Gra's describing. When one's doing Bikur Cholim and you're trying to cheer someone up who's down, so what's called for is to be very jovial and cheerful and tell jokes and tell stories.
Rabbi Tursky came to him to be.
Yeah. Oh. And so Rabbi Tursky felt that that was the right time. So I don't know what his natural state is, but the point is that he's capable of both. And when the right thing is called for. And this, of course, to me, is really the theme of this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha begins with the extraordinary kindness of Avraham Avinu, the way he treats his guests, his sensitivity for them, his sensitivity and caring nature with respect to the people of Sodom and the like. And the end of the Parsha, where Avraham is asked to do an incredible act of cruelty, and this is the Nisayon, likewise with respect to Yishmael, something that's hard for him, as you see from this story. The Rav Dessler writes, along very similar lines, that a Nisayon, a person is tested always to see if he's capable of acting in the way that he naturally doesn't act.
So he does not act.
Does not act. And that's precisely why Avraham was tested with respect to cruelty, because naturally he was someone that was very kind. He points out a similar thing with respect to Yaakov. Yaakov, the Pasuk tells us, was naturally Ishtam Yoshev Olim. Ishtam, he was pure, he was simple. He was not one who liked to be ambitious, not one certainly to lie to get things that weren't being given to him. And as the Pasuk says, Titei Nemes Liakov, and yet, in what way was he tested? People often wonder. They ask, they say, why is it that Yaakov is known in mystical sources, at the very least, to personify the Midah of Emes? If more than any other biblical character, it seems that Yaakov is the one who's always lying.
I always wondered that.
There you go. So he lies to his father to get the brachos. He has all those shenanigans with Lavan, the spotted and the speckled. And the answer is the same answer that we're saying with respect to Avram, which is that Yaakov, there are times when a person has to be aggressive, and sometimes where they even have to be dishonest. For whatever reason, and perhaps when we get to the Parshios of Yaakov, we'll discuss why this was appropriate. Right. But for whatever reason, the appropriate actions, as Rivka told him through prophecy, was that he was supposed to get the bracha, and even to deceive his father in order to get them. That was the Ratzon Hashem. And the question is, would he be able to? Would he be able to overcome his natural tendency of being an Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, being a Titei Nemes Liakov, his passive, his honest, to get what was coming to him? Likewise in his dealings with Lavan. After being trampled for so many years, the right thing for him to do was to take an aggressive stand and get what he deserved. So people are tested to see if they're capable of doing what goes against their nature. And as the Gra over here says, this is what shows true shleimus. And that is the story of this week's Parsha. That is the story of Akedah. I thought that you see this in another way within the Akedah. What's fascinating is that Avraham is frequently known as the Av who expresses love of God. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu you have over here, Avraham Ohavi. The Rambam cites Avraham as the paradigm of love. And at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, he's someone who also brought love of God through the whole world, to the whole world. So at the end of the Parsha, what does the Akedah say? What does the Pasuk say? Ata yadati ki arei Elokim ata. Now I know that you are a fearer of God. Now, what is the Pasuk telling us? That the Akedah was the ultimate expression of Yira. And that's natural. Yira reflects fear, reflects submission, that God says what he wants and we listen. Doesn't matter that it doesn't make any sense to us, that it's counterintuitive, not just that it's difficult in the sense that it is immoral from our perspective, but that it goes against the very mission that Avram had. Avram's whole life was to teach ethical monotheism to the world. And just imagine how his life's work would have been torn up had he slaughtered his innocent child. So, Ata Yadati Kire Elokim Ata. This act shows Yira, shows submission. We're going to listen to what God says no matter what. But at the same time, when you study the Rambam's presentation of the Akedah, which some of you had a chance to do in the Makoros and the Mor Nevuchim, Rambam always stresses that Avram showed not just fear of God in the Akedah, but love of God. Rashi also stresses it. If you take a look at the Rashi right over here, Vayachvosh hu ve'atzmo, ve'lo tziva l'achad me'avadav she'avam mekalkelas hashura. What is Rashi saying? God tells Avram, go slaughter Yitzchak. So Avram gets up, first of all, rather remarkably, gets up early, right? Doesn't sleep late. There's one day I would have slept late or had a hard time getting out of bed. It would be on that day. And he himself saddles his donkey. Now, Avram, of course, was a wealthy person. He was an old person, 140 years old, right? Wouldn't have been natural, 137. So wouldn't have been, the natural thing would have been to have someone else saddle his donkey. But no. Why? Like Bilam. Sinna is also Mekalkalas Hashura. It's exactly the same point.
He was so anxious to go across.
The second time he did that, though. The first time he did it was when he banished Ishmael.
Ah? Really? But it doesn't say saddle his donkey. So what's the idea? That love breaks all boundaries. Also hatred breaks all boundaries, and it's true, because when a person is overcome by hatred, so they could be totally focused on whatever their sinister goal is, and nothing else will matter. They could bring down the whole world with them, they could bring down their whole life with them. But what we see from this Rashi is that even though the Akedah is a great act of Yira, so it's also the greatest act of Ahava. And the Rashi is reminiscent of the Rambam's comments at the beginning of the second chapter of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. To appreciate this Rambam, we have to remember, and I remember hearing this point from Rabbi Rosenzweig, what the Rambam generally does. The Rambam was the greatest categorizer, organizer, of mitzvos and of law. The Rambam took this body of work, Shas, which is so confusing. It's very difficult to figure out where everything goes. And he put it in order. I know whenever I try to remember Gemara, and I can't remember where the Gemara is, so what do? I think, well, where would it be in the Rambam? It's easy to find in the Rambam, and then you go backwards and find where it is in a Gemara. Right? The Rambam is brilliant in terms of his ability to organize and categorize. And he addresses each and every mitzvah in its appropriate place. So what's remarkable here is that when he addresses the mitzvah of Ava, so we have two distinct mitzvos in the Torah. We have the mitzvah of Ava Sashem and the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. The Rambam writes, Hakel hanichbad v'hanora mitzvah l'ahavo ulira uso sh'nemar v'havdas Hashem elokecha v'nemar es Hashem elokecha tira. The Rambam took two mitzvos that are two separate and distinct mitzvos, and he combined them. He said, what is the path towards loving God and fearing God? And his analysis is a joint analysis, the way to love, fear God. And that's remarkable. It's extraordinarily surprising. The Rambam's general approach is to take every mitzvah and approach it separately. He has a separate chapter for each mitzvah. And yet when it comes to the mitzvah of Ava and Yira, he all of a sudden merges them. He puts them together. He treats them in the same halachos. What is the way to come to love and fear God? And he goes ahead and he tells you that when you contemplate the universe and you think about creation and you think about the awesome power of God and our smallness, simultaneously you come to both love God and desire to come close to Him, and at the same time you feel so small and distant and minuscule and fear Him. Not fear Him in the sense of Yiras HaOnesh, but fear Him in the sense of Yiras HaRonimus. So the Rambam puts these two mitzvos together, and we saw that Rashi does that in the Akedah. And the Rambam's presentation of the Akedah, he does the same thing. The Rambam writes, and here we'll have to summarize, the Rambam writes, what is the purpose of the Akedah? So clearly the purpose is not to teach something or show something to God that God didn't know. God knows everything, as the Rambam elaborates. Rather, the Rambam writes a fascinating point. He says that the purpose of the Akedah is to teach something, is to show the world something. Even though the Pasuk says, Ata Yadati Ki Yarei Elokim Ata, the Rambam says that the term Yadati or Yodeya or Ladas, generally speaking, means to know, but sometimes it means to show. He quotes one of the examples of the word in that second definition is the pasuk he quotes as Shabsosai Tishmaru Ki Os Hi Beiniu Veinichem Ladas Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. Ladas Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem means to make known that I am God who sanctifies you. And the Rambam gives other examples of this usage. So he says the purpose is to teach something. And what exactly is the lesson? What exactly is meant to be taught? So the Rambam tells us, actually, that there are two central lessons to be learned from the Akedah. The first one is the extent to which we are obligated to love and fear God. If you take a look at the Mor Nevuchim on page 500, as for the story of Abraham, the Rambam notes that there are six places in Tanakh, or in the Torah, where the term Nisayon is used, and Kedarko, he explains what each one of them is meant to teach. And now he's up to the story of the Akedas Yitzchak. It contains page 500, the paragraph beginning, as for the story of Abraham. One of these notions consists in our being informed of the limit of love for God, may he be exalted, and fear of him. That is to say, up to what limit they must reach. For in the story, he was ordered to do something that bears no comparison, either with sacrifice of property or with sacrifice of love, life. What he was asked to do is harder than anything else imaginable. Slaughtering Yitzchak would have been greater than giving up any property, and even giving up his own life. And exactly. And that shows us the limits of loving and fearing God. How far are we to go with our love and fear of God? Where do we see the limits? What is the extent to which we must love and fear God? That is derived from the Akedah. And that's the lesson the Akedah was meant to teach. In truth, the Rambam writes, it is the most extraordinary thing that could happen in the world, such a thing that one would not imagine that human nature was capable of. Here, there is a sterile man having exceeding desire for a son, possessed of great property and commanding respect, and having the wish that his progeny should become a religious community. And then the Rambam continues that the son who has grown up, who he loves, he's asked to slaughter him, and he's willing to do it. So this is the lesson, the extent of love and fear. So here, what we've seen tonight is that oftentimes we think of Ava and Yira as opposites. One way of relating to God is through fear. Yiras Hashem, we think, I don't know, the Kalta Litvak, who's always afraid. Another way is through Dveikus and through Ava and the like. The Rambam, when he presents them here and in all the other places, always merges the two. They're not two separate realms. They're not opposites. Even the Akedah, which seems to be the ultimate act of Yira, in it the Rambam sees the ultimate form of Ava. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos, and we should all be Zocha to be inspired by this incredible story.
No problem. Thank you very much.